Okay, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, that makes one of us. You are here by force. It's like going to the family reunion, and you get to eat the big buffet dinner. And about 1 o'clock, you're so stuffed you can't even move. And you go find you a bench somewhere, and you lay down. And you hope to God that nobody finds you, because you just want to lay there for a while because you're so stuffed. And then you have to go back that night. And here's little old Mamaw. And she's made a banana pudding for you.
Yeah.
She said, "Honey, this is just for you." And you're going, "Please don't make me eat that banana pudding. And I've done scooped you out a big old scoop, and it's good. And here, you go ahead and eat that." And you're like, "Man, if I have to eat anything else, I am just absolutely going to pop." And that's the way you are tonight. We're done. We have heard some good stuff. We've had a great week. It's been good to be here. And honestly, it's been one of the better meetings that I've been around in a long time. We've enjoyed the singing. Man, singing been great. You guys have really practiced, and it's beginning to gel real well, and it just sounds great. I mean, everything's been good, and all of the preaching has been excellent. I have enjoyed it. It's good to see the new preachers coming on the scene that have some zeal, and they've matured up a little bit. That's a real encouragement, and I have enjoyed that. So I'm going to be quick, and then Brother Walker is going to come and preach to you and take her on home to the barn. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and I'm going to read one verse and one verse only. 2 Chronicles 24. Second Chronicles 24 and verse 2. It says, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." I'll ask my friend, good friend, Brother David Walker, if he would open us a word of prayer tonight. Amen, amen. Now, I'd like to remind you of something that went on this morning. Brother Knowles, he got up during Sunday school, and he said something that was very profound. He said that preachers should like people. And a few years ago, I had gotten up here, and I had made a joke about not liking people. You know, just my nature was that way. And then after that, he had gotten up, and he'd kind of rebuked me for it, you know. And honestly, I went back, and I said, "Lord, you know, I don't even believe that. I do like people." But I had been influenced by other people, my peers, and I had heard them say that over the years, and I thought, well, that'd be kind of cool to say. Because they said it, and it made them look kind of tough, you know, and I wanted to be tough. And so I'm going to tell you, every once in a while, we say things just because somebody else said something, and we were influenced in saying that, you know, and we really didn't mean it, and that's really not our character. Honest to God, I love people. I would rather be around God's people than any other people around. I don't know about you, but that lost world really didn't treat me all that good when I was out there in it. And I've got family. I love my family, but, you know, truthfully, I'd rather be around God's people than any other people. And so I don't want to ever give you the impression that I don't like people, because I do. I love people. I like talking to people. Man, there's some people that I really enjoy. Now, I'm not going to give out free hugs after the service, but I do like people, you know. I like being around them. I owe one. I'm probably not going to get out of that one, but I do owe one. And that particular person, she is not going to let me get out of it, I'm sure. And so I'll hug and we'll leave, and then it'll be 10 more years, and then we'll, you know, maybe give another one later in life, you know. But I want you to notice something here. Look down in verse 2. It says, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." So as long as he had that influence around, you see that? He did right. Now, a lot of young people that are coming up, I have often wondered why it is that young people, they get, you know, maybe 16, 17, 18 years old, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, they get out of church. Now, they did pretty good up until they was about 16. And then when they got just a little bit older, I don't know what it is, until they're about 22, 23, 24, something like that. And they have a family, and then they begin to have kids. And then they say, hey, maybe we should go back to church. Why could they not have stayed in church, you know, in those 6 or 7 years in there? Now, I'm concerned that when they lose that influence, or sometimes it's that they get that freedom and they get too much liberty and they go and do things really that they do not need to do. And I'm telling you, you need to have Christian men and women to influence you in your life. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that you have to go out and sow your wild oats. Now, you know what I wonder in my own, you know, when I was reading this story about Jehoiada, I wonder why in the world, whenever he had Joash in his home and he was raising him, that Joash didn't realize what kind of a great deliverance that he had. Because Joash had a great deliverance. He was hid and then he was raised by Jehoiada. And Jehoiada, you know, listen, he was a preacher's son almost. And he had great influence from Jehoiada the priest. And I'm going to tell you, there are some people that will influence you the right way, and there's some people that will influence you the wrong way. And you need to stay away, steer clear of those people that will influence you the wrong way. And I want to say just a moment, and I want to say it very, very carefully. You need to be careful about some Christian people, some spiritual people, so-called, because at times they will influence you in a right matter the wrong way. Whenever I got to Bible school, I had what I called the Holy Spirit that sat beside me, not God's Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about my wife either, that was trying to conform me into His image. And he was telling me, he'd say, hey, if you do this, I was going to Bible school 4 nights a week. I had to take English because I did not pass out of it. And honestly, I wanted to take it anyway because I wanted to learn those things so it helped me out in Greek. And so on Friday nights, I had English, and then we'd play hockey after that. And he told me, he said, brother, he said, if you really want to be spiritual, you need to go to Mobile and Fort Walton Beach on Saturday nights. So here I was, 5 nights a week in school, and then Mobile and Fort Walton Beach on Saturday nights, street preaching, and then on Sunday and, you know, at church all day. I didn't miss services. I was there. I was not there to miss church. I was there to learn the Bible, but I wanted to go to church too. I mean, listen, we had Sunday school. I learned as much in Sunday school in many cases as I did going to the Bible classes because they taught Sunday school with the Bible. And we went verse by verse and we learned something. And this fella, he was telling me, I need to go out and do all these things. Listen, I was neglecting my family. There's a lot of people, it doesn't bother them to neglect their family. After about the first 6 months, I said, look, this ain't working. This is causing tension at home. I'm never there. My wife's having to raise our little girl. I need to be at home with her. You better be careful about the Christian men and women you get around because they can influence you in a good matter at the wrong time or in the wrong way. Amen. Does that make sense to you? I hope that's some kind of a help to you. Now, listen, out on your workplace, you can be influenced by, you know, maybe some work companions in the wrong way. And you need to be careful about those as well. They might, you know, they might be real good people. They say they like you. And then all of a sudden, you know, they'll say, well, you shouldn't do this. Or maybe they got a bad attitude. And have you ever noticed how that a bad attitude will really rub off on you? I mean, it just, you know, I don't like them. Right? Oh, I can't stand. Boy, they're dumber than dirt, ain't they? Boy, they just won't work. I'm going to tell you, you need to get away from them people. Because they will influence you to think about somebody in a wrong matter. And there are some preachers in the world that you need to be careful about listening to because they will influence how you think about other people. I mean, I've noticed in my Christian maturity that I'm not saying that I'm a mature Christian, but I hope I'm growing some. And as I grow a little bit, I want to get to the place to where that I form my own opinions about these people that somebody said, you know, I don't like, or I don't like this, I don't like this about them, or whatever. I want to form my own opinion about them and find out whether or not they're doctrinally straight, whether or not there's something in them that they can speak to me about. Maybe I can learn something from them. And I don't want to be so bullheaded or so stubborn-headed that I can't learn something from somebody. Listen, if we get in our ministries to the place to where that we can't grow, then our churches will not grow. We've got to grow up just as well as the folks in the church, or we will never have a mature Christian walk with each other and with the Lord. We've got to be mature Christian, and we have to be influenced in the correct manner. All right, now the next thing is, look down at verse 16 and 17. It says, and they buried him, talking about Jehoiada, because he died in verse 15. They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Now, I started off by saying this. I wonder why it is that our young folks, they grow up, they get a little bit older. They think that, you know, they can go out and do whatever they want to, and they kind of fly the coop. And we fight with them, we fuss with them, we say, don't do this, don't do this. I did that, and it led me down the wrong road. Don't go down that path, and for some reason, they won't listen to us. You're going to have to learn in your own self to maintain a good relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, I think it's important that my wife has her own relationship with the Lord. She does not need to live through me to get to God. She needs to have her own relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I have seen she's not watching this, so I can talk about her a little bit. She's in church tonight where she ought to be. She heard I was preaching. She said, ain't no way I'm listening, so she went to church tonight. You know I'm lying, Brother Larry. You know I am, don't you? But she has matured so much as a Christian just in the past 2 years. About 2 or 3 months ago, she told me, she said, I have got to have a place that I can come apart and pray. She said, you've always had your office. You've always had the basement. You could go and kind of get away. And she said, I've got to have a place where I can come apart and pray. You know what she did? She went in her closet. I didn't provoke her to do this. I wouldn't even have thought of it, just to be truthful with you. She went in her closet, and she took out a bunch of clothes that she can't wear anymore because she lost a bunch of weight. You see, it didn't go the other way that way. You know, she didn't gain a bunch of weight, and she couldn't wear them. But she got a bunch of clothes out of there, and she took them to Goodwill, and she went back in the far corner of that closet. She got her grandmother's chair, and she put it in there and put a rug in there, and she goes back in there, and she prays. The other day, I was talking to Knox, and I said, what you been doing? He said, I've been playing. I said, who you been playing with? He said, no, I've been playing. I said, what are you talking about? He said, me and Gammy been by in the clock playing. I said, oh. The other day I went in there and little Knox was back there in that chair sitting by himself. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm playing. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, that'll go a long way right there. Now, I think if something was to happen to me, I don't particularly want it to. I don't want to have a heart attack and go out of here. But if something was to happen to me, I think that Karen could continue on without me. Is that not what we want to leave our wives and our children to do? I think if something was to happen to me, I'm pretty sure that Bailey would keep on going. I think she's got it. Or at least she seems to. We'll see on the way home. I don't know. We may get in an argument on the way home. I don't know. I may have to set her out on the side of the road and you may have to come get her. I don't know. But I think she's getting something. Now, has she attained? No. Have I attained? No, I have not. Has Karen attained? No, she has not. We still have work to do. There is still something for us to do, but we have to keep on growing a little bit. You got to maintain a good relationship with Jesus Christ. I cringe anymore thinking about pastors dying and churches dying. I don't think that we've done our job if when the pastor dies, the church dies. There should be somebody to carry that thing on. And I'm talking about like a Moses and a Joshua. See, because Joshua was not going to compromise after Moses died. You see, Moses, he said, we ain't going to do this, we ain't going to do that, we ain't going to do the other thing. And then they probably started going to Joshua and say, hey, let's do. Joshua said, no, Moses said that ain't right, we ain't going to do it. But you see, there's a lot of people that doesn't have that leadership character to where that when the people come to them and they try to get them to go astray, they say, well, it's okay. Well, I guess we can, oh, well, that's just a little thing. No, it needs to be passed on from a Moses to a Joshua so that things don't change. Amen? You got to maintain a good relationship with Jesus Christ. Then look down at verse 22. This is my last thing. It says, "Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, 'The Lord look upon it and require it.'" You've got to remember to be thankful for the things that God's done for you. Amen. And if you don't, in the long run, you're going to end up being in trouble. Now I'm going to tell you, it's just simple, just simple. But I'm going to tell you, I have seen the Lord. You know, this year has been kind of a different year for us. It's not been status quo. It's not been, you know, what we normally did. And this year, I've seen God in our lives. It's not that I didn't see God in our lives before, but boy, this year I've really seen God in our lives. I mean, we've gone from week to week, and Karen and Bailey, they would pray and I would pray, and you know, they kind of pray together, and so I would pray, and we've seen God say, "Okay, that's a closed door, that's not it." And then we've seen the Lord, you know, He opened a door, you know, and we say, "Okay, we'll go through that one." And then we'd pray and we'd say, I'm telling you, we've done more praying this year and we've seen the hand of God more in our lives this year than at least I could say in a long time. I don't know if it's ever, but at least in a long time. And I mean to tell you, I have seen a lady that every time something goes wrong, she says, "Well, thank you, Lord, I still love you. Thank you, Lord, it doesn't really matter. I still love you." Man, I'm telling you what, she encourages me. For years, I've been trying to push and push and push. Now I'm no longer pushing. She's just going. Not that she wasn't a good woman. I don't want you to get that impression. But that's not the way to lead, to constantly push and push and push. You know what it is? You're just going to have to learn to love Jesus Christ, have a good relationship with Him, and she might just follow along and say, "Hey, there's something to this. There's something to this being a Christian and praying." I remember whenever we first left Bible school, I was determined, man. I was going to do it all. I would come home. Somebody said they laid in the floor. I can't remember who that was. I'd lay on the floor and I'd read my Bible for probably 2 hours. And the girls, they'd run all over me. You know, they'd jump over me in the floor. And so that, you know, that was kind of my routine when I got home from work. And then I'd pray. And they always caught me praying. I never saw my dad praying. I never saw my mom pray. But they caught me praying. I wanted them to catch me praying. Amen. The other morning, we were getting ready to come down here. And I went downstairs and I loaded up the car. And I walked back in and I caught Bailey praying. Amen. I'm telling you. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." She said, "It's okay, I'm done." Well, I tell you what, I've seen a lot of parents catch a lot of kids doing a whole lot of stuff. Man, I'm telling you, that was like the price of gold and rubies to me. She's down there on her knees beside her bed, and you know, she kind of, you know, I mean, it was good. I remember when she was a little kid, me and her mom would pray with her at night before she'd go to bed. She had a little routine, you know. She prayed for, there was a dairy farmer out there in Kansas, and he had a cow named Jeb every night. "And Lord, I pray for Jeb the cow and all the other cows every night." Now me and Mama ain't leading her in no prayers anymore. I'm going to tell you what, that meant all in the world to me. Be careful who influences you. Maintain a good relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let that go by the wayside. And don't ever quit being thankful. Amen. Come here, Brother Peacock.